This is Father David Celebrant from St. John's Church in Salisbury, Connecticut, with this week's focus, Name Your Demons. Dear friends, as miracles go, casting out demons is probably my least favorite. The blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, they're all very familiar, even conceptually comfortable miracles. Raising the dead, while obviously a much higher order of miracle, is still relatively easy to visualize. Conceivably, a faith healer could cure a psychosomatically induced blindness or deafness, but death is a completely different matter. Only the author of life can command death, and Jesus uses his power over life and death to proclaim his divinity and foretell his resurrection and ours. But what's all this exorcism business about? For starters, it's a more complex miracle. The other miracles are all two-party transactions. The miracle worker and the recipient. Exorcism involves a third party. That's the wildest of wild cards. A literal reading of this gospel identifies the third party as Satan, embodied in his legion of demonic underlings. A more clinical reading shows the demonic third party as a schizophrenic alter ego that controls and tortures its host, manifesting itself in increasingly obnoxious, alienating, and very dangerous behavior. How else to understand the tragedy in Orlando, whether it is the result of a crazed lone wolf or the product of an intricate demonic plot, its evil unleashed, wreaking havoc on the innocent. Its evil inviting us to overreaction, conjuring up a greater cycle of violence, frightening us, stampeding us, quite frankly calling us to bloodlust. Hardening our hearts, calling us to let the bombs and the bans fall where they may. And Satan, well, he couldn't be happier. That way lies madness. That way we don't resist evil. We simply invite it in to mirror the very demons that torment us. So what to do? What would Jesus do? Temper justice with mercy, fight evil, but yes, indeed, protect the innocent. Look for God's hand in all things. Seek his guidance. Champion his love. Orlando is an abomination, but not an aberration. The pattern, sadly, is painfully very, very clear. In recent years, hardly a month goes by without those demons lashing out to gun down a dozen moviegoers, 3 dozen children and their teachers, a tourist family at a train station, or most commonly, mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters, wives and children, who have struggled for years to confront and contain the demons that haunt their suffering loved ones. Christ is not afraid or repulsed by the man possessed. The same is true for so many families who still cherish memories of a loving child, now hardly recognizable in the angry, unkept young adult who stands before them. And yet their child is still their child. Perhaps more helpless now than when their cute kid pictures were taken. How simple life would be if we had the power to drive their demons into the swine, particularly before they lash out to do themselves and others harm. While we don't have that power, Christ gives us another. We have his love and we can share it in so many loving ways. In the hours immediately after, 5 of their children were gunned down in their schoolhouse by a man possessed by some unknown demon. The grieving Amish community offered this prayer. I pray for this man's wife and the load she must be carrying. Father, help her deal with this in the hard days ahead. Later, one grieving parent added, I realized that if I didn't forgive him, I'd have the same hole in my heart that he had. The devil feels like he's had a heyday, but people all over the world are praying for us. My friends, let's join in those prayers right now for those suffering with mental illness. Lord, have mercy on them. For their loved ones, Lord, give them strength. For their victims, Lord, give them your peace. For our country and its leaders, that they may make recognition and treatment of these tortured souls a national priority. Come, Holy Spirit. And finally, let's pray for ourselves. Christ asked the possessed man to name his demons. We should ask ourselves the same question. Are our demons obvious? Drink, drugs, internet pornography? Or are our demons hidden, but just as pernicious, pride, resentment, hypocrisy, greed, or just a low-energy indifference to loving God and neighbor. Possession in the form of mental illness is not a binary condition like the common cold, in which case you either have the virus or you don't. Mental illness is a continuum of pathologies ranging from the trace to the pervasive, from the dormant to the virulent. Beyond medication and therapy, one constant ingredient for both prevention and cure is the love of Christ. Live in it and share it, and you'll never be afraid to name your demons. This has been Father David Celery from St. John's Church in Salisbury, Connecticut. To learn more, visit me at davidcelery.org or follow me on Facebook, iTunes, or Twitter. God love you.